Join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Pizza Network, and our guest this morning is Eliyahu Ben David, and he's a Messianic Jewish person who has a ministry dealing with, of course, prophecy, what's coming down the line, the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, really, of course, the prophecies of what lies ahead. Not only that, but, of course, the fulfillment of all the prophecies, the remaining of the Old Testament. I had a wonderful interview with Eliyahu the other evening, so I asked him to come on. I just want to have him share with you, our listening audience, his view of what's going on. And certainly, as we view what's taking place today and talk about a Israeli strike or some sort of a war between Israel and Iran, from a totally logical point of view, Israel would be foolish to think about trying to attack Iran or stop them from developing nuclear weapons. The potential for the destruction of Israel with one or two nuclear weapons is just beyond belief. Certainly, Israel cannot take on Iran, even with America's help. If America gets involved in war over there, it could certainly cut off the oil supplies to Europe, plunge the world into a catastrophic situation. We're living in very, very dangerous times. But if you look at the unfolding events through the prism, through the lens of not only of history, but of prophecy in the Bible, so many of the things there do begin to make sense. And so, well, that is as a background. Eliyahu, you just pick up the story and tell our listeners about your concerns and what you see coming down the line.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, and nice to be on your program again. I wrote a book called Announcing Judgment Day, and this book is about the book of Revelation. I'm doing a series of seven books, and what I found in my studies of the book of Revelation from a Hebraic perspective is that it lays out for us this conspiracy for a one-world government. From the point in time where that conspiracy is being pushed forward in the world, causing great problems and troubles, to the time when that conspiracy is actually successful and brings onto the world stage the person that's normally referred to as the Antichrist, the ruler of the one-world government that will be a government that will dominate every person on the planet. And we should understand from the book of Revelation that such a conspiracy of a one-world government is foretold in Scripture. So when we hear people talking about this, I know many people scoff about it. They think, oh, that could never happen. No, it can happen. In fact, it must happen. The words the Scriptures use, in fact, are those very words. Messiah says in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, these are the things that must happen. So the fact that we have such a conspiracy towards a one-world government that is in the works right now, causing many of the problems and troubles we're experiencing in the world, this is right according to what the book of Revelation tells us would happen in the last days. And so these things actually must happen. And of course, Dr. Stan, as you were talking this morning about Israel, right at the center of the message about what must happen in the last days, we find Israel there. And this is true in the book of Revelation, and also the sources that the book of Revelation is drawn from, which is essentially the apocalyptic books of what we normally call the Old Testament, and even some others that aren't actually in the Old Testament, but nevertheless they're referenced in the book of Revelation. For instance, the book of Enoch is another influence on the book of Revelation. And what the book of Revelation shows us is that in the final days, there would be this hostility towards Israel. And in fact, the very fact that Israel even exists in the prophets and in the book of Revelation is a fact that proves that we are living in the final days, because we've gone 1900 years with no Israel in the world. And today, the very fact that there is a nation of Israel, and it is experiencing exactly the kind of hostility that the scriptures talk about, is another evidence that we are living in these final days. And it really is so amazing how all of this is coming together right now.
I think that really, of course, is how we can know that these are the days that are prophesied. And somebody, a young lady, had called the other evening when Eliyahu was on our program, and she said, and I think this is a feeling of so many people, well, you know, but how do we know that these are the last days? After all, people have been saying this for hundreds of years, you know, and they believed this 150 years ago and 250 years ago, and there were lots of bad things that were going on. Why should we believe that these are the last days? And, of course, Eliyahu's response was, because the children of Israel have returned to the Holy Land. And this, I mean, the chances of this had happened, you know, the Hittites never returned to Hittite land, and the Edomites never returned to Edom, and so many of the other racial groups have never returned to their holy land, to their traditional land, but the Israelites returned against all odds, and of course, Israel was founded as a nation in one day in 1948. It became a nation, and of course, it's been under attack since that time. And if you really study the history of the 67 War, the Yom Kippur War, even the initial battle back in 1948, there was no way, no possible human way that Israel could have won those wars without God's intervention. And it was God who won the wars, not the Israeli soldiers, although I'm sure they fought valiantly and they had brilliant leadership. But, I mean, there's logically, if God had been removed from the equation, I think Israel would have been destroyed long ago. And, of course, we have to look upon God's intervention in everything that's going on today, or his allowing these things to come to pass that he had prophesied so many years ago. If you haven't read Ezekiel 38 and 39 recently, you get it out and start reading it to understand what lies ahead, not only for the Near East, but for America.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
How well do you know the law? The situation calls for citizen's arrest, but proving your case seems to require a lawyer. What kind of proof do you need in court? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837. Citizen Power.
If you make a citizen's arrest, how is the suspect convicted? In the United States, courtroom proof is not materially different from common sense proof. Evidence may be a photograph, a tape recording, a witness who saw or heard what happened. Even remarks made during commission of the crime, although hearsay, are admissible in court. Proof, however, is the prosecutor's chore. To make citizen's arrest only requires probable cause.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning is Eliyahu Ben David, and we're talking about certainly the things that are transpiring today. So you pick up the story from there as we see the unfolding of events that a lot of them don't make sense by man's judgment and man's view, but they do from the prophetic point of view.
Well, what we see happening today, as you often say, Dr. Stan, it doesn't make sense when we look at it from the point of view of logical problem solving. You know, we have a problem, for example, of starvation in the world. And yet, it has been found out that every single person could be fed for about $40 billion. Now, we have corporations that waste that kind of money every day. I mean, in fact, our country right now is racking up debt at such a bigger rate than that. And yet we're presented with the problem of feeding the hungry and poverty in the world as being this problem of overpopulation and we can't deal with it and so on. And all of that is a fairy tale. In fact, just the handful of richest people in the world, according to certain statistics that I have, could feed all the hungry people in the world if they would give up just 4% of their wealth. So the problem is not really overpopulation, like they try and tell us. The problem is not that this is a problem so big they can't solve it. The truth is they don't want to solve it. That's the logical conclusion you have to come to. Now, why don't they want to solve it? Why are they wanting to have these problems in the world that everybody is so concerned about and upset about? Well, something has to be different than the way things appear on the surface. This is true in practically every realm that you look at. In the medical realm, certainly, Dr. Stan, you being a doctor, you're well aware that in the medical realm, a lot of the problems that we deal with are actually created problems. Problems that could be solved, could have been solved long ago. In fact, when there's a real solution to problems, often that solution is taken away. As you mentioned in our last program about DDT, how it was actually solving the problem of malaria. So they had to get rid of it because they want people to die. I mean, this is the world we're living in today, and it's so harsh and so strange that it's very hard for people to grasp it. And yet the book of Revelation talks in the same kind of language, which seems so bizarre to us, talking about people dying by the millions, talking about these plagues and so forth. And what we really see when we look in the world, we have these man-made plagues that are killing people off by the millions. AIDS is certainly a tremendous example of that. I've traveled in Africa, and in traveling in Africa, looking at the newspapers in Africa and reading the obituaries, it's absolutely enough to practically stop your heart just reading it. You have all of these young people, young parents in a lot of cases, that have died of AIDS. People are being wiped out literally by the millions in Africa right now by this horrible, horrible plague. It's just incredible the scope of this plague. And yet it goes on. And what do most of us do here in America? Do we really take time to care that these things are going on? You know, as long as we have our favorite TV show to watch, we have the movies we want to see, we're just lulled into complacency, and we do not see that the prophecies that we find in Scripture are being fulfilled before our very eyes. And this is true in so many areas. And, of course, then we have the financial crisis. the financial crisis is foretold in the book of Revelation by the black horse. We have the black horse rider released in chapter 6 of Revelation. And the rider is holding a balance in his hand. And a balance has always been the sign of a merchant. So this stands for the economy, not just having to do with famine, as many people have always thought, but it's really about the economy and the effect of the economy on the price of food and other necessary commodities. And what this is really showing is that there would be a time when this rider who rides throughout the earth, picturing something global, would be crying out, essentially, that we have a global economic crisis. Well, we all saw this fall upon the world in the fall of 2008. And markets all over the world were crashing. People were amazed by what happened. And the world will never be the same as a result of that. The situation is really quite dire. The unemployment throughout the world is causing some people to starve to death right now. And we're just really at the very beginning of these economic troubles. And even in countries that are more affluent, such as here in America, many, many people are losing their homes every day, losing their jobs, and the future is not looking very bright. In fact, when I was younger, the expectation of what would happen in America is that things would just keep getting better and better. But that is not the expectation anymore, because when we look at the tremendous debt that is being racked up by the government dealing with this so-called economic crisis, there's just no possibility that things are going to get better in this country with that kind of debt hanging over not only our heads, but even our children and grandchildren. This amount of money can never possibly be paid off by the people. So here again, we have the creation of a problem that doesn't make any sense. Long ago, policies should have been changed. And, you know, anybody knows you can't just keep spending and spending and never have a day of reckoning. But this is what has happened. And that, too, is for a purpose. And all of this, it goes really towards this global government conspiracy. And they're wanting to tear down the existing system so they can put in place their one-world government that the book of Revelation talks about in Revelation chapter 13 and then forward from there. So all of this is going on, is tracking right according to what the book of Revelation sets out for our day.
Well, we live in very, very dangerous and trying times. If you don't know the Lord, why, it's very difficult not to be fearful. Now, one of the interesting things, when we spoke last, I had asked you about the part that Petra would play in the final days, and I was rather surprised at what you said. Now, for the listeners out there who don't know anything about Petra, you probably have seen it if you saw the Indiana Jones series of movies. You know, and I think this was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. But be that as it may, there's the one of the last of the Indiana Jones films. Why the professor is looking for this treasure and whatever it is, you know, he's going to find it, and he goes into this valley, a long narrow channel leading into the valley, and then of course as he comes in, before him is this magnificent temple, and you see it, it's just carved out of the rock. Well, this is not a movie set; it really is there. It's in Petra. And basically, it is just these beautiful pillars carved out of the red stone of Petra. In fact, this has been referred to as the Rose Red City, half as old as time, because it dates back thousands of years. it disappeared from the map, and nobody knew where it was until sometime in the 1800s when it was discovered by a British explorer. But there are some people who believe that Petra will become a haven for the Jews in the latter days, and there is, we're told, 144,000 Jews who've come to accept the Messiah, who will have to flee. They're told that certainly as things get bad, that the Jewish people will flee into the mountains. And of course, what's interesting is, I mean, the mountains, you know, they must be talking about those over on the other side of the Dead Sea. How do you get across the Dead Sea? Well, of course, the Dead Sea is drying up, and increasingly land bridges across the Dead Sea for the first time in recorded history, to my knowledge. So suddenly the way is open, but what do you know about Petra, the home of the Edomites?
Well, I was really amazed when I visited Petra. I went on a tour, actually, of the Holy Land, and I wanted to go to the larger area, not just to modern-day Israel. And so I traveled the whole length up and down of the country of Jordan. And Petra is located, in the lower part of Jordan. And it's an amazing place. I can understand, really, why they filmed the Indiana Jones movie there, because they could not make a movie set that was more spectacular than Petra. There is a very long gorge. I can't remember exactly how long it is, but I know it's over a mile, and 3 miles comes to my head, but I'm not sure if that's the length. But it's very long, and I traveled that gorge myself on horseback, and it's very narrow and very high. So you feel pinned in as you're going through this, and you look up and you see nothing but rock, like walls of rock on both sides, and then finally, way up at the top, you see a little bit of sky sort of peeking through the two sides. So it's really quite amazing, and you travel through. The only way you can get in there on horseback, it's really too narrow and too rough to even drive in there. So you don't have any kind of modern traffic going in there at all. It's totally either by foot or on horseback that you have to get in there. The Romans had used it at one point, so along the side of this gorge, it's kind of cut out for a place where they had actually an aqueduct put in there to get water to go in there. And it is an incredible natural fort. When you get inside, it's like a great big place that's cut right out of the rock, only it's all natural. It wasn't man-made. It's just sort of like the best way I can say it for an American audience, it's like a canyon that is huge. It is so big. And as you come out this gorge, directly across from you is this temple that you have described to the audience, the temple that was actually used in the Temple of Doom movie. You can see the front of it right there. And it's very different than a normal temple, because most any temple you would look at, or ancient building or something, was built. It was constructed. This temple was not. It was actually chiseled right out of the red rock there. And so rather than it being pieces of rock and so on that are constructed to build the temple, it's actually all of it is part of the natural rock face that has all been carved out. As you continue, you know, within that whole area there, of this gigantic canyon-like area, you have these cliffs that go up very, very high. I mean, very high. This, too, is all carved out. There are staircases that are actually carved into the stone. You see them crisscrossing up on the side of this gorge. We'll be back in just a moment here. These are literally thousands of years old, these staircases.
Hold up. We'll be back in just a moment here with Leah.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Are you tired of caffeinated or high-calorie beverages? Good Life International wants you to try Glyco Tea. You'll be drinking the finest quality tea, providing you with such benefits as absorption of carbs and calories. Great for diabetics and aids you with weight loss. For pennies a day, you can boost your energy. For more information or to order Glyco Tea, go to www.life26.4tgl.com. or call 720-494-4663.
How well do you know the law? While living in the same small community all your life, you've never been called for jury duty. In the United States, aren't all taxpayers eligible for the Pettit jury? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen Power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837, Citizen Power.
Who decides who's on the list jurors are picked from? Brace yourselves for this one. In many states, the sheriff picks the jury list. In other words, very often the officer who made the arrest will choose the list from which the jury will be chosen. If your state lets the accusers choose the jury, the solution is to petition the legislature to halt this unconstitutional practice.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest this morning is Eliyahu ben David, and it's a real tongue twister until you get used to it, but Eliyahu ben David, and he has a ministry. And would you like to get out your website and tell people how they can get hold of your book and writings and listen to your radio programs?
Sure. People can find any of our information by going to our website, and our website is zion.org, but we spell that the Hebrew way. That's TSIYON.org, and make sure it's .org. And that again is TSIYON.org. And also my books are available on Amazon.com, and most any place that you would go online to buy books, you could find it. And all you need to do is look for my name, which is Eliyahu ben David. And there's not too many Eliyahus at any of the bookstores, so they pop right up.
Okay, well, we were talking, of course, about Petra, the rose-red city half as old as time. And you mentioned that when you were there, somebody said that they were beginning to store food in preparation for the Jews coming. What was that about?
Well, what happened there is... when I went in there, I was just so amazed by what I saw. Because, you know, as I've described, on the sides of this gorge, which is very huge, there's all these stairs going up. And then when you back away and you look, you see that they all have these essentially houses like caves that are cut right out into the sides of the rock. And they're honeycombed all through there. There's a tremendous amount. There's enough space there for hundreds of thousands of people, literally, to be sheltered there. And so I was seeing all this, and I was in awe of what I was seeing. I was in the company of some folks that live there in Petra, in the area of Petra. And these are Muslim folks. And so I was very shocked when they volunteered to tell me about all of this and said that the Bible says that in the last days that the remnant of Israel would flee there and would actually be sheltered there in those very caves that I was looking at. And what they said to me is, they said, we are storing up supplies for that time. And I was quite shocked. They didn't tell me any more than that, and I didn't have the opportunity to talk to them more because, unfortunately, the people I was with were moving on to the next part of the tour. So this is really all that I heard from them about this, and I was in a state of shock the rest of the day after talking with them, and it has left this question in my mind about people who are obviously Muslim Arab people who nevertheless tell me that they are storing up supplies for the remnant of Israel during these hard times. The scriptures call this time that we're talking about Jacob's trouble, and this is something that's going to happen right at the very end in the last days. And the scriptures do indicate that they're going to be sheltered there in that place. Now, who the remnant of Israel are, these are the faithful remnant that Yahweh keeps for himself in every age of the seed of Abraham. And, of course, ever since our Messiah came, the remnant of Israel are people who not only are natural Israelites, but they are also believers in the Messiah of Israel. And just as he saved the remnant of Israel from the destruction that occurred in 70, he's also going to save the remnant of Israel out of Jacob's trouble. And he's going to cause them at the right time to go there to Petra, where he will supernaturally protect them there. Is going to keep the enemy from being able to touch them there in that place. And the scriptures don't tell us exactly how he's going to do that, but I believe that he can do it and will do it, and this is what the scriptures indicate. And it was so amazing to me to find out that they live there in Petra apparently believe that too. And even though that they're Muslim people, they see that really as their duty to be prepared for the remnant of Israel that will be seeking shelter there in Petra.
And when, of course, we visited Petra, and this was, maybe a decade ago, why the most amazing thing was that the United Nations was putting in a water supply. Now, I mean, the valley itself is very, very, you know, sparsely populated. They're not that many of the Edomites who live there. But, I mean, they date back to they are the children of Esau. Of course, they're parallel. Jacob and Esau were the two sons of Isaac. And the United Nations is bringing water in, so there'd be plenty of water. And this is an ideal defensive position. I remember when Noah Hutchings was on our program from Southwest Radio Church, and he's a wonderful old gentleman. Well, he's not that old. He's not that much older than I am, but anyway, he's been around a long time, does a wonderful job on Southwest Radio Church. But my wife talked to him before he came onto the program, and she said she'd heard that planes can't fly over Israel, over the valley there, over Petra, that something happens to their instruments. And is there any truth to that? He said that there was. Now, whether that's true or not, all I can do is repeat what I've heard. But so many things are pointing to the fact that we're living exciting times, and the fact that there may very well soon be a land bridge across the Dead Sea, which is drying up, as is the Sea of Galilee. The first time, since our Lord was here, that these things are in place. Everything is in place, and we have a caller. Who's calling in?
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Stan. This is Mark Call here in Niwot, Colorado.
Hi, good to hear from you. Do you have a question for me?
Yeah, likewise. Great to talk with you again. And Eliyahu, it's a real pleasure to talk with you as well. You and I have known each other for a number of years, and I just want to let the audience know I have read, as far as I know, I think I've read all your books anyway, and greatly enjoyed this one as well, and found it to be quite interesting, and certainly the discussion about provision and so forth is extremely consistent with the Bible. However it works out, I don't have any doubts that our Father is capable and will do exactly as He's promised. We're coming up very shortly on the fall feast, and I know that you have been following some of those things with interest as well, and I'm inclined to think we, particularly as we enter these times ahead, need to be watching the fall feast very carefully, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that and the things that are coming up here probably in the short term in that regard.
Well, Mark, I want to say thank you so much for calling in today, and it's a pleasant surprise, really, to hear your voice on the show today, and I really have so much appreciated you over the years. And about the fall feast, of course, it's important for us to realize that Yahweh has His own time cycle that He keeps, and this goes on from year to year, this time cycle. And He's still on the same time cycle. You know, you see, a lot of folks don't really understand that.
Hold that thought, Eliyahu. We'll be right back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
You may not plant 250,000 acres every season or tend 50,000 head of cattle, but it's good to know that your equipment could. From farming and cattle handling to goat and equine management, Charter Equipment is used, trusted, and built by pros using more than 60 years of know-how, which is just one of the reasons we are the official provider of equine and livestock management equipment for the World Equestrian Games. To find a farm and ranch store near you, visit tartargate.com. Tartar, working harder since 1945.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
Stand back here, Eliyahu. Go right ahead.
Okay, I was just answering Mark's question about the feasts and their significance in Bible prophecy. And The feasts are extremely significant because Yahweh has planned out all of the events of the final days according to his time schedule, and the high points on this are all marked out for us in the feasts. For example, when we read in Revelation in chapter 7 about the great multitude and the waving palm branches and so on, well, people who keep the feasts understand that this is actually talking about the fall feasts of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. And so this is a fulfillment of that particular feast. As you read through the book of Revelation, there are other indications, for instance, about Passover time, when it talks about the lamb that was slain and so on. It's indicating about things that happen at Passover time. First fruits is mentioned, which is another festival according to the biblical calendar. And so actually we have to know the biblical calendar to understand when events are happening according to the biblical calendar. I have a book called Holy Time. It's available from my website. And I'd be happy to give that book to anybody that wanted a copy of it. If they would just stop by my website and say, I heard about your book, Holy Time, on Dr. Stan's program, could I please have a copy? I'd be happy to give them a full, complete copy. And my website is tsiyon.org, tsiyon.org. And this book, Holy Time, will explain to you about how biblical time actually works. And it will give you the raw material you need to be able to track holy time through the year. And you will be amazed, as I have been in living according to holy time, how Yahweh actually can come into our lives and touch our lives in a living way according to his time. This is really quite an amazing experience to enter into. And it's something that... I think everybody should be interested in. So I would like to offer that book as a gift to your listeners.
All right. Well,
okay. Well, and if I could follow up with one quick one, and I'll let you all, I know we're almost running out of time here, but in particular, Eliyahu, one of the things that has always fascinated me, if you look at all the various feasts of the year and see what the Bible requires or the things that we should do and the things we're supposed to look at, and I have always expected that we're supposed to look at those things because we're being prepared for what is to come. The one that is next, the one that follows at the next new moon here, the only real requirement is that we're to blow a shofar, kind of sort of as if what we're supposed to do is learn what one sounds like. And so if I've had any counsel for folks that have not been watching these things over the last few years, it's that certainly over the next few years, it's important we all learn to be listening and understand what that that shofar, that final trumpet that sets things off in the fall, is like when we hear it.
Well, thank you, Mark.
My sheep know my voice, I think, is one of the things that's...
I'm so glad you bring that up, but of course, that's the sound that every believer in Messiah is waiting to hear. That is the sound of the last trump. It's the last trump of the Hebrew year. And it's going to be the last trump of this age. When Messiah returns, we're going to hear the sound of a loud shofar blast, just like on that festival. Yom Teruah is actually the name of the feast, or the Feast of Trumpets. And the indications are, because the scriptures say that this event happens at the last trump, that one of these festivals of trumpets will be when our Lord will actually return and when we will be gathered together to him. And it's also called the Feast of Shouting. And I don't know about you, but when I see the sign of the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, I'm going to feel like shouting.
Okay, yeah, I agree. And I don't necessarily expect that particular aspect of the feast will be played out this year. Again, the Yom Teruah itself should be sometime in the next few days, over approximately this next weekend when the new moon is sighted. So certainly it pays for us to be listening and watching and know the season anyway. Well, Adrian, again, it's great to talk with you. God bless Eliyahu, and thanks, Dr. Stan.
You're more than welcome. Well, we're living in really exciting times, but you have to know the scriptures. You have to know what has been foretold. And then as you see these things taking place and you scratch your head and say, what's taking place just doesn't make sense. I mean, from a logical point of view, but of course it's not from a logical point of view. It's from a prophetic and biblical point of view. Well, Eliyahu, you've got about 1.5 minutes to wrap up this morning's program.
Okay, well, you know what I really want to say to everybody this morning is what the book of Revelation lays out for us as our goal is to be overcomers during this time. We know that this one world government is going to happen, and, you know, we may be able to throw up some obstacles to it from time to time, but it must happen according to the book of Revelation. And the challenge it really lays before all of us is, in even in the face of all of these troubles that are being brought upon the world, Yahweh is calling upon us to be overcomers, to be righteous people, to care about things like our neighbor, to care about freedom and liberty, to care most of all about our Messiah and his ways and his commandments and what he wants from us. And realizing that that is the real goal, that is the reason why we have the book of Revelation and the prophecies, because we're being called to be overcomers, I think this should cause each of us to realize, oh, I need to be serious about my relationship with God. I need to get to know him better. I need to learn how he wants me to walk and live my life. And so this is really the challenge of the book of Revelation. This is really the final thought that I want to lay out for folks that are listening today.
And that old adage, our days on earth will soon be past. It's only what we do for Christ to last. Eliyahu, thanks very much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you again on our program this afternoon. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Stan.
I'm 72 years old, and I'm enjoying the good life.
Thanks to the people at Good Life International,
along with good exercise, a healthy diet, and Good Life liquid supplements, I feel great and breeze through the day. You can experience the good life, too, by taking Mega Cardio Plus. To find out more, go to www.attackdisease.4tgl.com or call 720-494-GOOD. That's 720-494-4663.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our interview this morning with Eliyahu, a little different than what we usually do, but you must understand we are living, I believe, in truly prophetic times. Our job, of course, is to reach as many people as we can in the time that is allotted to us. Hopefully we can bring them into a personal relationship with the Lord, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. And certainly these things may not come to pass for many years. They may come to pass very, very quickly, but they will come to pass sooner or later. Under any circumstances, we hope many of you out there will want to get our material on the Brotherhood of Darkness, because you can't understand are the decisions made by people in key positions in government unless you understand the Brotherhood of Darkness, who they are, or what they intend. The book, inexpensive. You can get the book. You can get the DVD. You can get the book, the DVD, and the tape is the Brotherhood of Darkness special. If you can't afford or don't want to put out the money, go to my website at RadioLiberty.com and scroll down to videos, and then scroll down videos to the Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can watch the talk from whence the book came. The advantage of the book is you'll actually get the source material so you can check it out and make sure I'm telling you the truth. But under any circumstances, you need to understand the other two things you need are my talk on The Forbidden Secret, which is a DVD, and with a syllabus, and my talk on the financial Armageddon, which explains to you how and why they created the current financial crisis, who Barack Obama really is, and who really brought him to power. Things you're never going to hear elsewhere, that's the financial Armageddon. And then, of course, you probably want to get Pat Wood's DVD on the Trilateral Commission. Pat does a real good job on that and goes into the background of how they created the financial crisis. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our all-day seminar on the 25th of October. If you can come, we'd love to see you there at North Shore, the North Shore of Monterey Bay. And hopefully a great time will be had by all. We're going to have a great line of speakers. I'm amazed at the response we're already getting as people coming from all over the country to our all-day seminar on the 25th of October. So if you want to get reservations, you have to have them. We're serving lunch. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can listen to our radio programs. What you can actually hear or watch our DVDs there, lots of them, and lots of links to YouTube's things that you really need to see, and they're all very, very short. But then the full-length DVDs as well. There's a place called Other DVDs, and then read our newsletters. They're packed full of information. They go back a decade. You're welcome to copy anything on my website and circulate it. As long as you're not making money on it, just paying your expense, that's fine. We're selling ideas. Oh, we do sell a few products to try to raise the funds because it's an expensive proposition to do what we're doing, but God's been good. He's helped us so far. If you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. If you have not yet seen the DVDs, Chris Pinto's wonderful DVDs on the Secret Mystery series, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, incidentally, the new Dan Brown book, his new latest book, goes into the secret architecture of our nation's capital as well. And then, of course, The Eye of the Phoenix. You need to see that a series of three DVDs. Another important one would be They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll in the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. Important for you to have the information and help us to get it out. That's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Again, the number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And They Sold Their Souls, the 1-hour, the 3-hour, or the 10-hour version. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Staff and families of Brown's Appliance and Service Center takes this time out to recognize and salute the Brighton men and women in uniform, standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's always remember them in our thoughts and prayers. Their efforts abroad and our support has kept America strong. That's from your friends at Brown's Appliance and Service Center, where Alan Swain and his family and staff are always working to make our area a safer place to live. That's Brown's Appliance Service Center at 204 South Main Street in Brighton. Call 659-0410.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements.